listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me, I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. It is week 7 of No Huddle Offense, only on The Zach Gelb Show.
Touchdowns, sacks, upsets, and last-minute heroics. Another NFL Sunday is in the books, and we've got you covered with the biggest plays and sound bites from another wild week in the National Football League. It's time for No Huddle Offense on the Zach Gelb Show.
Love the performance that I saw yesterday from the Cincinnati Bengals. Let's hope they can continue it. They destroyed the Falcons 35-17. Ja'Marr Chase had a 41-yard touchdown reception to make it 28-7. This is Dan Hoard and the sounds of Dave Lapham on the Bengals Radio Network.
Burrow throws toward the left sideline. Back shoulder throw. Chase makes the catch. Cuts it in the middle of the field.
Bye-bye.
And the chase of Chase is unsuccessful. A 41-yard touchdown. The Bengals' fourth TD in 4 first-half drives.
8 catches for 130 yards and 2 touchdowns for Ja'Marr Chase. Tyler Boyd led the Bengals' wide receiving core with 155 yards, 8 receptions, and a score. And how about Joe Cool, Joe Burrow? 34 of 42, 481 yards, 3 passing touchdowns, and a rushing score. Bengals go to 4-3. They defeat the Falcons once again, 35-17. Dak is back. Dak Prescott, 19 of 25, 207 yards, a touchdown in his first game since week 1. The Lions had 5 turnovers in this contest as they lose 24-6. And Dan Campbell is now 0-11-1 on the road in his head coaching career. Can't find a way to bite off those kneecaps on the road. And Ezekiel Elliott had a 1-yard touchdown, his second of the game. This made it 17-6 in the fourth quarter. Here is the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network.
Prescott under center, Pollard motion right. Hand off Elliott, burrowing on the left side. Wait for a signal, touchdown! 2 for Zeke, touchdown Elliott!
Our next stop, Nashville, Tennessee. The Tennessee Titans and the Indianapolis Colts, these two teams met a few weeks ago. Tennessee got out to a 24-3 lead, and they ended up winning the game. This time around, at halftime, it was 13-0 Tennessee. And in the first half of games this year, the Indianapolis Colts have been outscored 98-39. Now we know that Matt Ryan has been benched for Sam Ehlinger. That was announced today. Sam Ehlinger expected to start the rest of the season. Let's hear Andrew Adams make a pick six to make it 10-0 in the second quarter. This is Mike Keith on the Titans Radio Network.
Empty backfield on 2nd and 13. Ryan gets rid of it quickly. It's intercepted. 30, 40, 50. Adams 40, 30, 20, 10, 5. End zone! Touchdown, Titans! Andrew Adams to the house!
It's the 5th straight win for Tennessee over Indianapolis, and a big part of that is Derrick Henry had 30 carries yesterday for 128 yards. Commanders, Packers, Landover, Maryland. Let me just give you the Rodgers stats, and this basically tells you all you need to know from this game. Rodgers, 23 of 35 for 194 yards and 2 touchdowns. On 3rd down, The Packers were 0-for-6. It's the first game without a third down conversion for Green Bay since week 6 all the way back in 1999. And it's the first three-game losing streak for the Packers. Remember, they lost to the Jets and the Giants the 2 weeks before. And now the Commanders. It's the first three-game losing streak for Green Bay since weeks 11 through 13 back in 2018. And it's the first time in Aaron Rodgers' career that the team is under 500. They fall to 3-4 through the first seven games of the season. And the reason why they lost this game, Terry McLaurin from Taylor Heineke, 37-yard touchdown reception. This made it 17-14 in the third quarter. Here is the Commanders radio network as the Commanders win 23-21.
First and 10 at the 37. RPO again. Heineke going to take a shot towards McLaurin near sideline. It's caught! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! A 37-yard bomb from Heineke McLaurin!
Who had this on their bingo card? Aaron Rodgers losing to Taylor Heineke, and then Tom Brady losing to P.J. Walker. T for Temple University. Fight, fight, fight for the cherry and the white. For the cherry and the white. We'll fight, fight, fight. That's right. P.J. Walker from the American Athletic Conference Temple Owls, who were the champions, I think, back in 2016. He was the quarterback. He was the game's most outstanding player up against Navy. He outplayed the GOAT. Bah! Tom Brady, as the Panthers win 21-3. Here's Tommy Tremble on a 29-yard touchdown reception from P.J. Walker. This made it the final score 21-3 in the fourth quarter. Here is the Panthers radio network.
Walker, the snap, fires downfield. Tommy Tremble's open, makes the catch. Touchdown, Panthers!
No run CMC, no problem. Deontay Foreman, 15 carries for 118 yards. This is the first time Tom Brady has a losing record through seven games since 2002. Buccaneers fall to 3-4. Giants, Jaguars, comeback kids once again. Here is a Daniel Jones 1 yard rushing touchdown to take a 20-7 lead in the fourth quarter. And then the Giants tackle Christian Kirk right at the 1 yard line to end the game. Bob Papa and Carl Banks on the Giants radio network.
Jones keeps it, pushes into the line. No signal yet.
He's in the end zone.
No signal yet. No signal yet.
He's getting up in the end zone.
Touchdown, Giants! 7 seconds to go. Lawrence in a shotgun. Empty set again. Takes the snap. Back to throw. Steps up. Fires it to the end zone. It's caught at the 1 yard line. Giants stand him up. He's not in.
Game
and
over.
The game's going to run out. The Giants stopped him at the 1 yard line. Holy cow!
Incredible job by the Giants right at the end. They had 3-4 guys right around Christian Kirk, as I thought for a second he was going to get in, but a good job on gang tackling. And I will say this, I thought a crucial mistake by Doug Peterson. 4th and 1, not a lot of points in this game. He goes for it in a 17-13 game where he was winning. If he would have just taken the field goal, it would have been 20-13. We know the Giants ended up winning that game 20-17, so maybe we could have seen overtime. Saquon Barkley continues to be a stud this year, 906 scrimmage yards this year, and in the contest on Sunday had 24 carries for 110 yards. The Giants are 6-1. How about that? Ravens, Browns. Let's listen up to Gus Edwards on a 1 yard rushing touchdown, his second of the game. No J.K. Dobbins. He's out because of an injury for the next few weeks. This made it 20-10 in the third quarter. And then let's hear Cade York, another long field goal attempt, this time 60 yards. It would have been the game-tying field goal attempt, and it was blocked with 2 minutes to go. Here is Jerry Sandusky on the Ravens radio network.
Jackson under center. He'll give it to Gus Edwards. Edwards looks to the left, picks his way into a pile, converges, touchdown Ravens! 60-yard field goal try for rookie Cade York to tie the game. Snap is down. Kick is blocked. It is blocked. The ball will fall at the 10, and it will be down there. And that will run the clock to the 2-minute warning.
Gus Edwards in his first game since 2020, 16 carries for 66 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jets Broncos. Unfortunately, Breece Hall is out for the rest of the season with a torn ACL, but he did have a 62-yard touchdown run to make it 7-0 in the first quarter. Here's Bob Wischusen on the Jets radio network.
Bunch set left, Wilson under center, takes the snap, toss sweep to the left, Ball with blockers in front. Has a crease to the 45, to the 50. Left sideline, 40. Down the sideline, 30. He's gone! 20, 10, 5! Touchdown! Breece Hall, house call. The Jets take the lead.
I like that call a lot. Breece Hall, house call. Unfortunately, Breece Hall is out for the rest of the season with that torn ACL. He did have four carries for 72 yards and a touchdown, which is just such a shame because he was on pace to be the rookie of the year this year on the offensive side of the ball in the NFL. The Jets, though, are 5-2 as they take down the Denver Broncos, and Denver goes to 2-5 on the season. Yikes. No Russell Wilson in this one. And it didn't really matter, even if they would have had Russell Wilson. The way that Broncos offense has been performing, can't have any confidence with the Denver Broncos. Raiders, Texans, it was the Josh Jacobs show. Here's a 15-yard touchdown, his third of the game. This made it 31-20 in the fourth quarter. You'll hear Jason Horowitz on the Raiders radio network in just a moment. Josh Jacobs in the game, 20 carries for 143 yards and three touchdowns. Jacobs broke Marcus Allen's record for most rushing yards in a player's first 50 games in Raiders franchise history.
First and 10 on the Texans 15. Delayed handoff to Jacobs. Huge hole at the middle, 10. Cuts right side, 5. Touchdown, Jacobs! The hat trick in the end zone. His third rushing touchdown of the day.
Hickey, just want to get a little clarification here. The Seattle Seahawks are 4-3. They defeated the Chargers, who are now also 4-3. They blew them out 37-23. If I would have told you before the year that seven games into the season, the Seattle Seahawks without Russell Wilson would be 4-3 and have Geno Smith starting at quarterback, you would have said?
No way, Jose. No shot.
And you would have never believed, right, that the Denver Broncos would be 2-5.
Also no way.
Well, that's the world that we live in. Kenneth Walker, he's really starting to find his groove the last 3 weeks. Kenneth Walker III, a 74-yard touchdown run. His second of the game. This made it 37-16 in the fourth quarter. Here's Steve Rabel on the Seahawks radio network.
First and 10, toss to Walker. Goes right side, has a little running room. Parkinson out front. Here comes up the sideline. He's on the run, 40. Down to the 30. Are they going to catch him? I don't think so. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Seahawks. 74 yards.
His last three games, Kenneth Walker, 8 rushing attempts against the Saints for 88 yards, had a score. Against the Cardinals, 21 for 97 and a score. And yesterday, 2 touchdowns on 23 carries for 168 yards. The rookie running back out of Michigan State, the 41st pick in the second round of the 2022 NFL draft, is really starting to find his groove in the NFL. Chiefs and the 49ers. The debut of Christian McCaffrey in a 49ers uniform after getting traded earlier in the week by the Carolina Panthers for a 2-3-4-5. Kansas City trailed early by double digits. It did not matter. They ended up winning the game 44-23. Here is the Juju Smith-Schuster 45-yard touchdown reception. This made it the final score of 44-23. Here's Mitch Holthus on the Chiefs radio network.
Time to throw over the middle. Juju Smith-Schuster wide open, 25-20. Jukes the safety, 10, gets a block. Angling near side pylon, touchdown, Kansas City. It is yards after catch all day long. A 45-yard touchdown reception by Juju Smith-Schuster.
That was the score for Juju. He also had 6 other receptions, the total 7 in the game for 124 yards. Patrick Mahomes, 25 of 34, 423 yards and a casual 3 passing touchdowns. Mecole Hardman is the first wide receiver in the Super Bowl era to record 2+ rushing touchdowns. He had 2 carries for 28 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, and a receiving touchdown in the same game. Kansas City, they bounce back after a loss to the Buffalo Bills to just annihilate the 49ers in Santa Clara. And finally, Dolphins, Steelers. Kenny Pickett returns from injury. Tua Tagovailoa returns from injury. And Tua in the game, 21-35 for 261 yards and a touchdown. Kenny Pickett had 32 for 44 for 257 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 picks. And Kenny Pickett, according to NFL research, has thrown 7 interceptions in his first 4 career games. Only other rookie quarterback to throw 5+ INTs in their first 4 career games was Terry Bradshaw. Must be a Steel City thing. Let's listen up to Raheem Mostert. Had an 8-yard touchdown reception. This made it 7-0 in the first quarter. And then we will also hear an interception in the end zone with 25 seconds left in the fourth quarter to seal the win for the Dolphins. Here's Ryan Rackey on Westwood One.
Hill goes in motion to the right, snap to Tua, back to pass, looking, steps up in the pocket, moving left, swings it out left side, caught Mostert, down the sideline, into the end zone, touchdown Dolphins. Tagovailoa able to flip it out to Mostert on the left sideline, and he walks in untouched. Pickett wants the snap. He's got it. Back to throw. Pickett looking. Steps up in the pocket. Pickett thinking about running. Now throws down the sideline.
Oh,
intercepted in the end zone. And it's Igbinoghene. Kenny Pickett threw it to the corner of the end zone. Igbinoghene picked it off.
Hickey, can you try to pronounce that last name for me?
Noah Igbinoghene.
One more time.
Noah Igbinoghene.
Can you say it 10 times fast?
No. I absolutely cannot, because I don't think I could even say it one time correctly.
War Eagle out of Auburn. Noah Igbinoghene.
Good thing you're not a Dolphins play-by-play man.
No.
Saying that name all
Giannis
the time.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, Halepulivati Vaitai. Those are easy. Tua Tagovailoa. I think I've met my match. Noah Igbinoghene. I have no clue.
What are you adding
that?
An extra O in there for?
I think I'm adding a B too. So how do you say it?
Noah Igbinoghene.
Noah Igbinoghene.
Kenny Pickett threw it to the corner of the end zone. Igbinoghene picked it off.
Igbinoghene.
There you go.
Yeah, I would just be praying if I was a play-by-play man in that game. Just Noah, don't make a play, Noah I.
There's Tua T, there's Noah I, you know, everyone knows.
You know, everyone that is friends with Noah just calls him Noah I, okay? And I'm friends with him. I call him Noah I. He only goes by Noah I, right? Okay.
That is your no-huddle offense for Week 7. Dolphins take down the Steelers 16-10. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So Clemson struggled with Syracuse. I actually thought Syracuse played the better game, and it felt like Syracuse should have won, but how many times do you see, and I know Syracuse is undefeated going into the game, but on paper, an inferior football team go up against a superior football team. The inferior team look like they're going to win the game, and then the superior team pulls a rabbit out of its hat and finds a way to get the W. The part that surprised me, because you and I are both kind of on the same page. We're going into this year, we weren't very confident with Clemson. I'm still not confident with Clemson, but DJ Uiagalelei has had moments this year where he's impressed, not against the greatest competition, but the way that he played against Wake Forest and NC State, where you go, okay, he's turned the corner, and he's been a top 10 name in the Heisman Trophy conversation. Now, no one said he's going to win the Heisman. I don't think anyone has put him in the top three. But there's been a top 10, maybe even a top 5 case to make for DJ Uiagalelei to win the Heisman this year. And what we saw on Saturday afternoon was DJ Uiagalelei look like 2021 DJ Uiagalelei and not the DJU that we've seen through 2022. And with how adamant Dabo Swinney has been that DJ is the guy and that they're not going to put Cade Klubnik in for any serious reps in critical moments this year, and this is DJ's team. He deserves it. Last year, the offensive line stunk. The wide receivers aren't as talented as they once were. All the excuses have been made for DJ Uiagalelei in a critical moment with this season on the line, because Clemson, if they win out and they're undefeated, they're going to be in the college football playoff, even if you don't think they're deserving. But the moment they drop a game, that opens up Pandora's box. And when the tough got going there for, and when tough times happened there for Clemson, Ryan, I was a little bit surprised. And it was the right call. And not that Cade Klubnik played great. And that's a tough spot for him. Really, his only good play was that 2-point conversion that he made. When it got a little bit of adversity in a critical spot of the season, this was the first critical spot they had all year. There was a quick hook there for DJ Uiagalelei. It was deserved. But I was surprised with how vocal Dabo's been and how obnoxious, almost to a point, that Dabo's been to defend and go out of his way for DJ, how in the first big critical moment it looked like they could actually lose, he yanked his quarterback out of the game.
Obviously the right move, and look, we've seen Dabo not be shy right about yanking quarterbacks. He's had plenty of quarterback decisions to make in the past and has done so. And it's just kind of what we're going back to before with analytics, like having a pulse for the game, having a pulse for your team. It was clear DJ, for whatever reason, just was not reading the defenses very well, was struggling with just ball security, struggling with just simple plays. And so you almost had no choice of your Dabo. And you could have made the argument, you could have done it at halftime. Like, he was even generous enough to give him the start of the third quarter before yanking him after an interception. It was the right move. And you mentioned it. It paid off in the end, but it wasn't because Cade Klubnik all of a sudden lit it up in the air, for sure.
But it does show you that Dabo Swinney thought there was a better alternative than DJ Uiagalelei, who's played well this year, to go win what was the biggest game of the season against an undefeated Syracuse team, and he went with someone else. And then you see that action, and after the game, not that I'm expecting Dabo to fully say Cade's our guy for the rest of the year, but he gave his full support to DJ Uiagalelei and made it seem that DJ is going to be starting. Now they have a bye week, and then they play Notre Dame the week afterwards when Clemson goes up against Notre Dame. So there's one thing to say that now, and there's one thing to voice that vocal support now. And this wasn't a Oklahoma situation last year where they were trailing in Red River, and then Caleb Williams gets on the field, and he was clearly better than Spencer Rattler. Yes, Cade Klubnik won the game, but it wasn't as if Cade played great. So maybe that makes a decision to go back to DJ Uiagalelei easier. But I'm just curious, in two Saturdays from now, if it will actually be DJ under center to start the game against Notre Dame.
I think it depends what Dabo's trying to accomplish. If your goal is to just make the college football playoff this year, I think DJ is the guy who gives you the best chance of running the table undefeated and getting there.
I don't think it matters, honestly.
But if you are like, does DJ bring Clemson on the same level as Ohio State?
No.
Or Georgia or Tennessee or even a faulty like Alabama team, or if you want to put Michigan in the mix? I don't think so. I'm with you. No. So also, you're going to run him out there?
I don't view Clemson as a championship team this year. And it's weird because DJ has played well enough to be the starter. But if you think Cade Klubnik could give you something more, which there was that belief before the year, yes, I don't look at Clemson as a national championship contender, but maybe they turn that page now. At least there's some unknown with Cade Klubnik.
What's the worst that happens? I get like it's easier for us to say that in this position. We are just watching the games and talking about it compared to Dabo Swinney. But I mean, you're right. Like, this is not, they're not an elite level program this year like they were in past years.
Now, when you are Clemson, you get everyone's best because of what they've done for pretty much the last decade. You have Notre Dame. First-year coach Marcus Freeman trying to make a statement. Now, Notre Dame stinks. You have Louisville. Then you have Miami. Mario Cristobal has the ability to beat a big team, but that Miami program stinks right now. South Carolina, am I expecting, I know Beamer squad plays tough and they have Spencer out, but am I expecting them in that game? No. But you're going to get everyone's best because you're Clemson. Should DJ lose any of those games? No. Should Cade Klubnik lose any of those games? No. I don't think it matters. And it's a tough decision because DJ has played well enough to get the job, but can he take you back to that championship level where, fair or not, that's the standard? And the answer of who do you have more confidence in, naturally because of the unknown and how highly touted Cade Klubnik is, and this is probably a similar conversation we had a few years ago, a little bit different because of who DJ was replacing, that we probably had with DJ. Where, yeah, look at the prospect ranking. Look where he's supposed to be. He's going to be great. Remember when he filled in for Trevor Lawrence when Trevor Lawrence had COVID up against Notre Dame? He played sensational. And it never really came together to make you think that Clemson's back to a national contender. Now you have a similar vibe with Cade Klubnik. Oh, this guy's supposed to be great. He's supposed to be awesome. You hear about all of his past in high school. Everyone you talk to, this guy's going to be a stud. He's going to be a stud. I don't think it really hurts you if you go to Cade Klubnik. Because if you lose a game that you're not supposed to lose, is there even that thought that DJ absolutely is going to win that game if you end up losing it? I think Cade's a better quarterback. I really do. And maybe that's because we haven't seen a lot of Cade yet. But on Saturday for DJ to play like that, it shows that I thought 2021 was out of him. It shows that 2021 to some part is still in him somewhere.
And even when he's been at his best, I mean, the two best games he had so far, back-to-back, Wake Forest and NC State, like, he played really well. But also at the same time, we look at this Clemson team, like,
the ACC stinks this year.
Not very, you know, again, not at that top level. So it's like you almost kind of reached your ceiling already with DJ Uiagalelei, which is a really good team, a playoff-caliber team. But we've seen a gap, even, you know, playoff teams, between making the playoff and then actually legitimately competing and contending for a national title.
I was actually rooting for Clemson to lose. Because I don't want to see Clemson. It's nothing against Clemson, the program. I just don't think Clemson is that good this year. And these semifinal games have been terrible in the college football playoff. Now, is there a better alternative instead of Clemson? You know, that's a fair debate. We're going to have to see where we are at the end of the year. But I wanted to see Pandora's box be open because I told you this a few weeks ago. You said, oh, Clemson could run the table and miss out in the college football playoff. If they run the table, they're going to be one of the four teams in. And that ACC has been so down this year, and Clemson is good, not great this year. I was hoping that Syracuse was going to beat them, even though Syracuse would still be undefeated. But does anyone think Syracuse is going to a college football playoff? Absolutely not. So I was rooting for Clemson to put some road bumps and some speed bumps in the way of them making the college football playoff over the weekend while it was happening. Now, it didn't end up going down that way.
This is the thing though. It's like if they're not one of the four best teams, if we're looking at it, it's like, oh, they won every game, but their conference stinks. I think there has to be a discussion. Whether it actually
there
happens
be a discussion,
or not,
but you know what's gonna happen.
There needs to be a legitimate discussion. Is Clemson one of the four best teams?
Here's what we know. Two SEC teams will get in the college football playoff. Whoever wins the Big Ten, Michigan, Ohio State, will get in the college football playoff. If let's say TCU is undefeated, wins the Big 12. Based off resume, they should be in over Clemson. In the Pac-12, who would be the team that you think would have the best resume?
Probably have to be Oregon at this point, honestly.
And Oregon already has one loss now to Georgia.
Yep. I mean, USC, no.
If Clemson's
UCLA,
undefeated,
no.
I think they get in over Oregon. Even though the Pac-12 has run circles this year in terms of competition around the ACC. So we need Clemson to lose. But since that game on Saturday was their closest one, you think they're going to lose? Would you pick Notre Dame, Louisville, Miami, or South Carolina these next four games?
No.
Maybe an upset in the ACC championship game? Now, that's what we're going to have to hope for. Because I'm with you. Clemson probably does not deserve to get in the college football playoff this year, even if they go undefeated. But you know they will get in if they are undefeated.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about. like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news. And add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. This season, for the first time, you could hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, the International Series, Holiday Triple Headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app, on WestwoodOneSports.com, via Westwood One Station Streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. It's time to say goodnight to that check engine light with the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. It will help troubleshoot the likely cause of your light for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. DK Metcalf did suffer a knee injury in the Seahawks win yesterday against the Chargers. He was carted off. X-rays, though, are negative, so we'll see what the timetable is from here. But I don't know about you, Ryan. When I saw him get carted off yesterday, I go, oh, maybe he's just going to the bathroom again, because it was no more than, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago where he was carted off, and I'm thinking to myself, it was against the Saints, and I go, oh, well, what injury did he suffer? And then you just found out that he had to go to the bathroom, and then you find out that this was actually an injury. So unfortunate to see, but good signs that the x-rays are negative and he's not going to need surgery.
I wonder if you had to, like, you know, let everyone know, hey, I'm not going to the bathroom, this is actually serious, so to actually, you know, get the x-ray machine ready and treat it real instead of, oh, he's just got to go to the bathroom again, all right.
Yeah, you say it with the smirk on your face, but you're probably not wrong. Now, you never know if they recommended him to get carted off or things like that, but my first thought when I read the tweet, he got carted off, I go, well, is this actually an injury? Is he going to the bathroom again? And now, is this going to become a weekly thing with DK Metcalf? But then you found out that it was an injury. The Seahawks, they're fun. I like this Seahawks team. And I feel like I say this each and every week, so I'm going to say this for my recap of week 7. If I could have one wish the rest of the year, I want to see the Seahawks make the playoffs. Pete Carroll's likable. This team is likable. Geno Smith has played better than what anyone could have thought. Kenneth Walker's really starting to get on a little bit of a momentum wave the last 3 weeks. I like Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, you could be a fan of. Defensively, this team is playing better than what you thought they were going to be before the year. I'm rooting for the Seahawks the rest of the way. In a division that is not that good. Cardinals, not inspiring. They're 3-4. 49ers, 3-4, probably the most talented in this division. And the Rams sit there at 3-3, and they can't block anyone. I don't think they'll win the NFC West. I don't think they'll make the playoffs. But I'm hoping that they do make the playoffs, this Seattle team. Because it just shows you that maybe, just maybe, Russell Wilson, what he thought he was leaving, was better than where he viewed it. Because I'm not saying Russ didn't have some valid criticisms and valid complaints. But I always thought this situation could have been rectified. And there had to be some middle ground that was met. Because Russ wanted it to be him throwing the football 47 times a game. Pete said, you throw too many interceptions when you do that. And we got to run the football a little bit more. But you look at from, let's just say, a pure talent standpoint, Lockett and Metcalf are better than what the Broncos have on offense. And the Broncos' offensive line is not playing well. And Russ is starting to look like he is a football player that's in decline. Like, Geno Smith's not a good quarterback. But Geno Smith has outplayed Russell Wilson this year. And it just shows you what happens when you have the quarterback actually all in on the team and not acting like a poser like Russell Wilson has been the last 2 years and really is what he's been doing this year in Denver. Come on. What, did the cat get your tongue there, Hot Take Kiki? You don't got no response for that? You're Mr. Russell Wilson. You're Mr. Anti-Pete Carroll. You're Mr. Denver Bronco. You're a defeated man 7 weeks into this season. I didn't even get to your Colts yet.
That, I will give credit to the Seahawks and Pete Carroll because they have definitely proved me wrong for sure.
This is like when a kid makes a mistake as a young child and he has to then go talk to his mom and dad who he knows that he's in the wrong and he really has nothing to say. Ah!
I guess the only thing I just don't understand. I don't get it. I don't get how Geno Smith goes in there and actually plays well. And it's not like we saw this in training camp. The guy was battling with Drew Locke. For most of the training camp, before
Russell
Drew Locke
Wilson
got out.
Wasn't fully invested. And when you claim to be a leader and you're not fully invested in believing in your teammates, most of the times it's not going to work.
Running game now is better. The offensive line magically is blocking. Maybe the offensive line hated Russell Wilson. Maybe that's what I just totally missed. Everyone hates Russ, and that's why the Broncos O-line has gone to crap, and that's why Seahawks O-line is better than anticipated.
Let me ask you this. A year ago, Russell Wilson, through his agent, had four teams get leaked out that he'd be willing to accept a trade to. And then he shows up to camp, and he's like, oh, Pete and I, we're best friends. We have a great relationship. We love each other. There's no merit to that. That's all fake. That's all fake. And if I was a guy in that locker room, I wouldn't say, yeah, let's go ride with Russell Wilson. Because this guy wanted out. And when you're supposed to be the leader and you want out and then you're there for another year, what do you think? Those guys are going to fully buy into Russell Wilson? No. And what you've been seeing this year in Denver, Russell Wilson is more about his brand than the success of the team. He's been a phony in Denver. And he's been doing things that are so cringeworthy. You find out, by the way, that Danger Witch sandwich, by the way, you can't even actually buy a Russell Wilson Subway sandwich.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean? It's fake?
There's no actual sandwich.
Are you sure about that? It's not like something you have to order online or on the app. I think that's like one of those like stupid promotions where it's like, oh, download the app and that's the only place you can get it. You really can't buy the Danger Witch anywhere?
I don't think so.
And what's the point?
They're selling a
fake product?
Yeah, I don't get it whatsoever.
Why would Russell Wilson do that? Why would somebody pay Russell Wilson to promote a fake product that doesn't even exist?
I don't know. Can you walk into a Subway store and say, can I get the Danger Witch?
I have no idea. I've not frequented Subway often. I don't plan on it, especially now with how Russell Wilson is making me look like an idiot. So the last thing I'd ever do is get the Danger Witch, but I assume at least you can go and buy one if you're still a Russell Wilson sycophant at this point.
The sandwich is no longer on the menu. I'm reading this on CBS Sports right now.
No longer? Oh.
Yeah. So, Russell Wilson's Danger Witch sandwich removed from Subway menu after awkward commercials go viral on social media. That's the story.
Wait, what?
CBS Sports.
They are removing it not because like Russell Wilson stinks right now, but because people are making fun of his videos that he promoted that Subway probably directed?
Put it this way. If anything, if I see this commercial, it's more likely I would go to Subway than not because at least Subway's in my brain. Because I see the commercial, how bad it is. Like last week, I was craving a sandwich. I wouldn't have got this Danger Witch sandwich, but they pulled it from the menu. So the sandwich is now non-existent.
What? That is literally the stupidest logic you could ever use. Oh, he went viral, which is free marketing for us. And again, who do you think directed these? I'm sure Russell Wilson had a hand in it. And how cringy it is, but like you really
if you're Russell Wilson, I know they're paying you money, you got to understand. And he has no pulse with reality and no feel for reality. You got to realize that he was going to look terrible in this. But to pull the sandwich.
That's part of the issue.
To pull the sandwich. Jeez.
That is a first. That is a first. And that, this might be a hot take. I will admit, I'll preface that by before I say this. That bite me worse. Pulling the sandwich might be worse than actually Russell Wilson's commercials.
What's worse, his commercial, getting the sandwich pulled, or the play on the field?
I mean, getting the sandwich pulled is pretty bad.
I think the play on the field's been the worst part.
Getting your sandwich pulled because
Geno Smith
of you.
Has outplayed him.
I think almost everyone's outplayed him.
Yeah, that's true.
Like we did this last week. It was like 20 quarterbacks we take right
Taylor
now over Russ.
Taylor Heinicke and P.J. Walker have looked better over the weekend than any time Russell Wilson looked this year. Real quickly, just win-loss. Seahawks rest of the way. They're 4-3. Giants this upcoming weekend.
Where is that game?
That is in Seattle.
That's tough.
You got to go quickly here. We only got a
win.
Okay.
For Seahawks.
At Arizona.
Loss.
So that would put them at 5-4. Tampa Bay.
Loss.
5-5. Raiders.
Win.
6-5. At Los Angeles, Rams.
Loss.
6-6. Carolina.
Loss.
Win.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say. 7-6. San Francisco.
Loss.
7-7. At Kansas City.
Loss.
7-8. Jets.
Seattle?
Yes, in Seattle.
I'll go win.
8-8. Rams, last game of the year. They beat the Rams twice.
That would be a win and you're in.
9-8, you have them going.
I know, I'm going to give him a loss. Probably.
No. Come on. I'm overruling you just for that. If the Seahawks go 9-8, oh, man.
Imagine make the playoffs and then get the top three pick from the Broncos.
They're winning that trade more and more as the days go on. According to Ian Rappaport, you have a trade in the NFL. The Jets are making a big trade acquiring Jaguars running back James Robinson to help replace injured running back Breece Hall. Draft pick compensation is going back to Jacksonville. We'll tell you when it happens. Funny, I was in the newsroom today, and people are talking about who could the Jets trade for. I said James Robinson. It ends up happening. How about that? Eric McLean next.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.